Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the fourth chapter. So our gospel lesson comes right after the temptation story in the Gospel of Luke, which I'll refer to a little later in the story. Then Jesus, filled with the power of the Spirit, returned to Galilee, and a report about him spread through all the surrounding country. He began to teach in their synagogues and was praised by everyone. When Jesus came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day, as was his custom. He stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was given to him. He unrolled the scroll and found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. The Lord has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And Jesus rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of all the synagogue were fixed upon him. Then he began to say to them, "Today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." The Gospel of the Lord. Please be seated. In the name of Jesus. According to the Gospel of Luke, Jesus is the great politician. That line comes from one of my teachers, Dr. Fred Danker, the late Dr. Fred Danker, who wrote a great commentary on the Gospel of Luke. Jesus is the great politician. We know a lot about politicians these days, particularly a bundle of Democrats are announcing their candidacy for the Democratic nomination. And the way they do this most often is travel to their hometown to make the announcement. In our lesson this day, it records that there was just a bunch of speculation about this unknown guy, Jesus. Report about him spread throughout all of Galilee. So to be clear about his intentions, Jesus returns to Galilee, and he comes to Nazareth, his hometown. And he went to the most prominent venue in his hometown, the synagogue. And I don't think he quite said it this way, but it's kind of how I imagine, "Hello, my name is Jesus, and I'm running for Savior of the nations." In our lesson today, Jesus then proceeds to lay out his program. The lesson that we read, particularly those words from Isaiah, are often called Jesus' keynote speech, or his inaugural address. He uses the words, as all good politicians would, of someone great who had come before him, the great prophet and political advisor, Isaiah. And that first line is a grabber, isn't it? "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me." The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. That almost sounds presumptuous. Perhaps even privileged. However, these words, "this spirit," mean exactly the opposite. Jesus' identity and his campaign is a rejection of privilege. His campaign, the year of the Lord, the year of the Lord's favor, is a time when all are embraced as valued children of God. No partiality, no privilege. It's reminiscent of that great Jubilee year, which supposedly came around every 50 years in the Hebrew culture, when debts, all debts, are forgiven, when land returns to those who had lost their land. It returns back to their owners so that everyone has a chance at life. Jesus' keynote address amplifies his rejection of privilege and underscores his welcome to all people. We might say in today's political parlance, It's a big tent. Good news is preached to the poor. Release is offered to the captives. Sight to the blind. Freedom for the oppressed. God's favor is a year, a time, an election of no privilege over others. Pretty extraordinary promise. So everyone's eyes are upon him. No doubt they had a bundle of questions in their heart. Is this our guy? Can he really do this? Maybe these are your questions. In answer, Jesus says, today this scripture, these campaign promises are fulfilled in your hearing. Fulfilled in your hearing. It's not really just simply a statement about Jesus and the nature of Jesus, but it's also about his hearers, us, you. Privilege is set aside. You are free. All of us are free in this hearing. God's favor, God's free gift is for you. Jesus says, I am with you, I am for you. No longer are you captive to a system based upon privilege of some over others. And this freedom is for you no matter which side of the privilege scene you are on. And he will make it very clear in his ministry that those who are privileged in this life can also be captives. Captive to the violence needed to maintain privilege. It strikes me as very appropriate on this day, this Reconciling in Christ Sunday, that we renounce once again the oppression experienced by GLBT and Q folks, our sisters and brothers, and give thanks for our freedom together in Christ and in the church and in our communities, and continue to affirm that in our hearing of Jesus' words, we are all free and we are all called in this hearing to keep working until freedom is for all and maintained. Now, as you all know and we all experience, the problem is then for sure, now for sure, those who live by privilege find it very hard to give up or, to use Jesus' words, to repent. They fight to hang on to their privilege. This proves true in Jesus' own religious community and in his own nation as he goes about on his way to Jerusalem. The authorities, those who are privileged, those who live by status, will seek to destroy him. And it's also true of the broader Roman Empire, which will end up crucifying him. Then and now, is it not also true in our U.S. reality, in the world in which we live? For instance, white privilege is a common problem, and it is our national struggle over and about white privilege that is being played out prominently, daily, in our politics and in a good chunk of our religion as well. Bryce always asked me to tell stories in confirmation class. I didn't have any ones that I'd made up, but apropos of the story about and our thinking about privilege, if you haven't seen the Alabama story that's at the Rep about a white rabbit and a black rabbit and what that might mean in the South, check it out. But we could be a little more precise and say white male privilege, which brings me to another story Valerie and I saw on the basis of sex, and it's not really about sex. It's about Ruth Bader Ginsburg and the privileged status of hundreds and hundreds of white men who went into the Harvard Law School, and there was this one gal in, well, actually there were several. But, you know, the question they were asked is, why are you in this seat when a man could be sitting here? Or we could be even more drilling down and say straight white male privilege or straight white Christian male privilege. Jesus is the candidate who sets aside any honor or privilege or glory based upon status. His spirit distinguishes him from all other candidates and all other spirits and identifies him as God's son in pure relationship with the creator and giver of life. I'd mention that this comes right before Jesus' encounter in the desert with the tempter. In Scripture, in these gospel stories, Jesus opposes the candidate of privilege. And in the Bible, that candidate is characterized and identified as Satan, who in his debate with Jesus, we call it temptation, is encouraging Jesus to operate on the basis of privilege. After all, you are the Son of God. Turn these stones into bread. After all, hey, how about all these kingdoms that you could be ruling? Or throw yourself down. After all, you're the Son of God. You won't hurt yourself. But throughout his ministry, Jesus stays on message. He challenges individuals who live by privilege and all social and cultural systems which uphold privilege by welcoming everyone, Jesus by welcoming everyone as valued and honored and forgiven. For have we not all failed one another? Have we not all embraced privilege over others in some form or another? Jesus' campaign, his way, as it is often called in the Gospels, and particularly in the book of Acts as well, to follow the way, to follow Jesus' program, is to bring God's promise and gift of life to all. And when we fail in our discipleship to follow this way, Jesus offers forgiveness, restoration, renewal, new life to be shared once more with all who are in need. This way, this campaign leads to the cross. Because in the end, only violence can maintain privilege. Only violence can maintain privilege and opposition to God's program. Jesus' death on the cross reveals the bankruptcy of systems of privilege. They are deadly for all involved. Jesus' refusal in his life and in his death to return violence for violence, to embrace the politics of privilege over others, but to suffer instead for others, even for us, and to offer forgiveness of sin and the promise of resurrection life, new life to all who repent. All this makes a new way, a way out of no way, a new politics, a new creation. Jesus, the great politician, votes for us with his life, gives us his life that we might live and follow his way to set the captives free. Amen.